Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Jules Maloney. She is an author and also, let me look at her little list here, she's a Reiki master, an integrated energy therapy user, and she does spiritual readings, vortex tours, medicine wheel ceremonies, classes and channelings. And if that isn't enough, we're going to discuss her new book called Mary Magdalene, The Christos Sophia Revelation, which she's told me she wants to get out very urgently for understandable reasons because it's about planet Earth 2012. Welcome to the program, Jules.
Thank you, Mike.
Was the introduction all right?
That was wonderful. Thanks.
Great. Okay. Now, just before we sort of get into the message that you have for us, let me tell you that I have read your book, and I'll just mention to my listeners that you gave it to me at the Sedona conference because you live in Sedona.
Right.
Fine.
I'm blessed.
I found it the most beautiful place with the most magical energy, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I'd like to think you're a very lucky person to live there.
I am totally blessed. We all are who live here.
Right. Now, you've had sort of an interesting time as far as your birth self, who you tell us was Julie Elizabeth. And then right. You talk of Julie Elizabeth and Jules were together for 34 years. And then Julie's soul contract finished last July the 4th, 2011. Now, can you explain what's happening there?
Well, it happened when I was in my 22nd year in 1977. I had what I call an at-one-ment experience, and I was sitting on the beach in California just watching the sunlight on the waves, and all of a sudden I had what I call an at-one-ment, and I realized that I was God, everything was God, there was no death, everything was alive forever, things like this. I don't know if it was a few minutes or how long it was, but I've never been the same since. And it started me on an inner journey, a complete transformation, which has taken decades to come to fruition and for me to understand it more and more fully. So one of the ways that to explain it, if it needs to be explained, is that once I started meeting people in Sedona who call themselves walk-ins, that perhaps what I'd had was a soul braiding. That's what I look at it as, that a higher dimensional aspect of my own soul signature it came in, overshadowed and embodied into my physical, etheric, emotional, and mental bodies here. And that's what I attribute talking about our multidimensional selves, okay? And part of the ascension process is that we are each bringing, integrating our whole soul lineage of our I Am presence, which is our great God self that each of us has, our connection to Source and our I Am presence, and that we're bringing different aspects of our soul from multiple dimensional levels online here on planet. That's part of the ascension process, that we're bridging multi-dimensions with our own being, our physical, etheric, emotional, mental, and spiritual aspects, bodies.
Right. Gosh, that was some experience for you. I have heard of other people having a similar experience, but did it actually last for very long in terms of a day or two or whatever?
It lasted, it seemed like it lasted for moments, or, you know, I don't know how many moments, but it changed me completely. And right afterwards, for example, I started translating everything into numerology in my head, and everything that I saw or things, anything that came in front of my consciousness, I would translate into numerology. I also was able to all of a sudden be aware of the dark forces on the planet, so to speak, and how they set things up and how they were programming humanity through the media and so on. I was able to feel and see this. And I was able to feel and see the symbolism and everything. I remember going to church. I grew up Presbyterian, and I went to church at one point soon after, and I could hear what was behind the words in the Bible, things like that. And I tried to convey this experience right afterwards, about maybe a week later. I wrote a poem for 3 days and nights called "The Truth Will Be Revealed as We Reveal Ourselves to Beauty." And I wrote this poem for 3 days and nights trying to communicate some of the experience. And then it also sent me into a dark night of the soul, kind of in the esoteric traditions. They talk about when you have a huge awakening like that, meeting the dweller on the threshold. And the dweller on the threshold is really our ego self, or our shadow, our unconscious material that our ego tries to keep guard at the door so that we don't get flooded with our unconscious material, which also started coming forth. So it was quite a tumultuous ride for about 3 years, actually.
Oh, that's fantastic. But by the sound of it, you seem to have coped with it very well. I mean, it didn't sort of shock you or surprise you in any way that you didn't want to continue with this sort of work.
Well, it started me on the path of this work.
Mm.
You know, before that, I was only 22. Actually, right. It happened in January, and I was 22 the next month. So yeah. I was quite young. You know, I was in college, and I was quite young, and I'd always been interested in philosophy and higher consciousness. And actually, I realized later, much, much later, decades later, that right before that happened, I had asked for cosmic consciousness. I had prayed and asked for cosmic consciousness, and I didn't realize until decades later that I actually received it.
But it
changed me completely. I mean, not in essence. None of us ever get changed in our essence. We are who we are, but we grow and expand enormously along our path as we go along.
Right.
And this now, was a major shift.
Yes, amazing. Now, what was the significance of you seeing things in terms of numerology? I mean, what did that mean?
I don't know. It must have been some past life skill that I had or something that came forward at that time. And I don't remember now if I knew much about numerology at the time, as far as
right.
the interpretations of numbers and things. I'm not sure that I did, or if that was my inner education at that time, learning about it. Because I write about this in my book, and I've actually, for the past 3 days, I've been putting forth a second edition of my book, which is much, much longer. And yeah. I added this short story that I wrote in August called The Birth of the New Earth, and some other channelings that have come forth since I put the first edition out. And so I also added more about my own story in the second edition, because some other people who've had me on their radio shows lately said that they wanted to know more about me and who is writing this material. And so I added a little more. But now, what was I saying? I brought that up for a reason. It had to do with your question.
No, that's fine. No, it was just simply me wondering how or why maybe you saw things in terms of numerology. That was all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what I have written in the book now, and what I believe happens, is that when you have a huge spiritual awakening like that, the veils become thinner and you have a lot of openings, not only to the unconscious and subconscious, which is really where our own personal Akashic record resides. We hold it in our cellular memory and in our unconscious and also in our energy field. So when we have a huge opening like that, which of course is always also a rise in vibration and frequency, then more portals to different dimensions of consciousness open, and we receive skills and gifts that we hadn't activated before that point.
Right. So momentarily, when you had that great experience, you just appeared to know everything.
Yes, exactly. That's what it felt. Yes. Pure omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, which is, again, this has been a decades-long journey of inner teaching from the masters, from my own higher self, and I am presence from my star brothers and sisters, that also once we open like this, in a huge opening like that, we start receiving education on the inner planes from higher dimensional guides as well as higher dimensional aspects of our own self. So, yes.
So when did your sort of service to other people really start then? Because 77 was quite a long time ago.
Yes. Well, the first way I started my service was in working with young children, infants to five-year-olds in the 80s, early 80s. And I also was part of the disarmament movement. I did a lot of work with the media in Boston, Massachusetts, with the disarmament movement, and also working with young children and also participating in a lot of artistic endeavors, because I always was a poet. So I was part of some multimedia theater groups, a group called Food Not Bombs, which fed people at disarmament rallies, then also picked up old food from food co-ops and bakeries and distributed it to people in poverty. And but then I went back to graduate school and got a master's and doctorate in creativity. And then I started teaching teachers, because after working with children for about 12 years, I realized that I better work with adults if I wanted children to be able to be all of who we truly are, without getting conditioned into limitation and so on. So I worked with teachers then for a long time as a professor. But in 2001, I resigned from academia. For a whole year before that, I had felt that a change was coming on, and I didn't really know what the change was, but I had given a tremendous amount to the field of education, including I started two schools for children, two nature-based schools. And so I had given a lot there, and I felt a change was coming. And the change that was coming was that I was brought to Sedona. And that's always magical. Everybody in Sedona has their own Sedona story of how they got here and so on. And so I was magically brought here in June of 2001. And that's when I became a Reiki master and started doing healing work with people and taking people out on the land here and channeling in a much more conscious way. And so on. So that's been now 11 years of that.
Right. So having worked with children for so long, is that how you came to write your book, Every Child is Holy?
Yes, because when I finished my time in academia and the 21 years that I had spent in education, I wanted to write this little book to share with parents and parents-to-be and teachers of children, young children, and also elementary-age children, what I felt was most important to share with them. And so that was so wonderful to get that book out finally. And it's a small book, but it's just the most important things that I wanted to share. About what children need and how we can be with them and how we can really truly listen to them and allow them to be all that they are, all that they came here to be. So,
That's great. I'm sure that's helped a lot of people. So, when did you first start your channeling of Mary Magdalene?
Well, when I first moved to Sedona in 2001, and I was living out in Cornville, which is outside of Sedona, at the on land, the property of my Reiki master teacher, and I stayed out there for about 4 months receiving all the initiations and so on. And I was very impressed with all the people who were channeling in Sedona. And so one day I went down to this little pool, a mineral pool by Oak Creek, and I said, I want to channel too. And what came through was a poem from Mary Magdalene. Now, I think it was probably after that that I realized that there's many, many, many forms of channeling. I knew that the poem that I wrote in 1977 for three days and nights, that was channeled material, because as I was writing that poem, I already knew that poem by heart. It was a very interesting experience. And I also learned from that poem for like 10 years after that. So in retrospect, later when I came to Sedona and learned more about channeling and so on, I realized that all the arts, there's many ways to have revelation come to you and inspiration and higher vibrational information and wisdom. And what it really is about is raising our vibration, raising our voice through meditation and invocation and prayer.
Right.
And they raise them, and we meet higher dimensional beings at a higher dimensional frequency and telepathically receive information, which we then, as humans, translate into words or paintings or whatever, or service of some kind, whatever it may be. So, but it was when I specifically asked to channel and I received this poem from the Magdalene that it started coming clearer to me, and it's become more and more clear. And then I started in my readings with people in my healing work, started channeling Magdalene in readings and so on. And then I started receiving writings from the Magdalene. And I call it the Christ Magdalene because through the channelings that I've received on higher knowledge and so on, I understand that the Christ, I call the Magdalene the feminine Christ and the feminine aspect of Christ consciousness. But she and the Christ are truly one. I mean, at higher dimensional levels of all of us, we are all one, one beating heart, one telepathic connection, one, we are one. And yet the Christ and Magdalene, just like angels are very androgynous, the Christ Magdalene are two aspects of the same entity. And so now that it is the time, as we know, for the divine feminine aspect of all of us to be rising into unity and equality with the divine masculine, which has been in charge of the planet for several thousand years, it's very important that the Magdalene's voice come forth as the representative of the feminine aspect, the feminine Christ, the feminine God, and the feminine God I call Sophia. But so it's, you see where I'm going with this. It's bringing the wholeness back to all of us. Mm-hmm.
So when were you aware that you had to get the book out in time for the end of this year, which of course is approaching very rapidly? You must have had to do it in a bit of a hurry, I think.
I did. Well, you know, I don't put things out on blogs and on my website and things before, but what happened was in mid-February last year, I stopped working. I used to work at healing centers. I have the whole time since I've been in Sedona. And in mid-February, I received that I needed to stop working at the healing center because I needed more spaciousness, more quiet, more a different quality going on in my life. And so then in May, I actually helped another friend with a book that she was writing. I helped her type it into the computer. It's a book for children, wonderful. It's like Harry Potter for the new age. It's a wonderful book. And then that took the whole month of May. And then in mid-June, at the new moon of June, I started writing both books. I had already written Every Child is Holy. I'd written it in like 2003, but I had never put it out there. And there were some new additions to it just in the past year and a half. But at the full moon, I mean, at the new moon of June, I began with both of those books. Really, I was working on the Magdalene book because that was the new one. And in 1 month from the new moon of June to the new moon of July, which was Independence Day in France, July 14th, both of the books were done. So for 1 month, there was no night or day for me. I wasn't eating very much, but I had tons of energy, and I was living at a very high frequency during that month, and I wasn't sleeping much or eating much. But I was full of energy, and the two books were both completed together on July 14th. And now I'm doing a second edition, like I said, of the Magdalene book.
That's wonderful. Right, let's just talk a little bit about some of the things in the book. I'll ask you a question, actually, of something you mentioned in the very early chapter. So what is the state of consciousness called love?
Well, that what I always say is that love is what we are. We are love in a human body. So love is the fabric of creation. Love is a way of being, which is open to all that is, so open to a greater perception of the divine in everything. I believe that your heart has to open in order to really fully feel the love of the cosmos, the love of all creation come through. But in truth, and this has been channeled to me again and again and again, we are love. That is what we are. We are love and light in a human form, as well as many other forms simultaneously. That's the multidimensionality aspect. So the state of consciousness of love is open to loving all that is, to seeing, a way that I put it too, is seeing the stars in other people's eyes, seeing the divinity within every other person, within all of Mother Earth and all her kingdoms and queendoms, as I call them, with all of our relations throughout the cosmos, loving everything. And when we are open and we let go into being our authentic self, just simply who we are, then life is love.
Right. So what do people have to do to find out or recognize what they truly are?
Well, I think there's different things that can assist with this. One of them is allowing ourselves to release all that we are not. Humanity is very programmed, especially on the mental body, by many, many programs that have been gone deeply into our subconscious from the media, from our upbringing, from our culture, which has been 180 degrees opposite of what the truth is. So we need to let go of everything that does not feel right to us. We need to allow ourselves to be happy and full of love and full of peace. What happens is when you open to love, you come into peace. So, you know, from my perspective of living in Sedona for the past 11 years, we and all my friends here are healers, you know, and channels. And we have done so much work ourselves on releasing old emotional baggage, releasing old belief systems, releasing things that no longer serve our highest good. Now, this is a make a prayer, make an intention, ask for help from the beings in the realms of light who love you so much and who are your team of guides and angels and brothers and sisters who work with you to help uplift you and open your heart and integrate and align your whole self and so on. And so that is the most thing to do, is to make a prayer. I choose to open my heart. I choose to be happy. I choose to be free. Things like this are very important and they work. And you need to open yourself to calling on assistance from the higher dimensional realms. And this will help, and you will receive help, as you know. I mean, so these are some of the ways. Another simple way is to be out in nature anywhere. For me here, it's in the Red Rocks, but a garden, a hill, a valley, a stream, a river, the ocean. And receive all of the love that is in Mother Earth and all the kingdoms and queendoms, as I call it, the animals, the birds, the rocks, the trees, the flowers, and receive and be all that is. And just open your heart, just allow yourself to breathe, relax, deeply relax, and open to all the love. And as all of the channelers, including Lisa and so many, talking about, is that the earth, we all, this earth and all life on her, including all of humanity, are receiving such intense energies and waves of love from the cosmos to us. So if we can relax, let go, and receive, we will be changed, and we will continue to be changed. And this is something that I always say to people about ascension. We've been ascending for a long time. We're continually ascending. And what ascending means is raising our frequencies, raising our vibration. And of course, this changes us in every conceivable way. And I started learning about this with the Reiki, because I realized that when you do Reiki with people and you're bringing through huge amounts of divine love and light to the person on the table, that is about, first of all, releasing the heavier, denser energies that they no longer need for their highest good, and raising their frequencies. And when you raise the frequencies to a 5D level, no disease resides there in the 5D. No separation, no duality, no doubt, no pain. And so this is what energy work does as a healing tool. And this is what we do when we meditate and raise our vibrations and things like this. So now I forgot again where I was going and what you had asked me.
Well, don't worry a moment about that. In your write-up to the book, you mentioned that this time is the fulfillment of a divine plan for humanity, and you talk of the full merging of the divine feminine and masculine creator with the human creation. Now, is that what we can expect to happen at the time of one of the key points of ascension, which is the 21st of December?
Yes, this is an opening. This is what I was talking about too, that ascension is a continual and progressive process. So, for example, I've been saying for quite a while here in Sedona, we already live in the 5D here. The City of Light is quite anchored here, and it's anchoring more and more and more fully all of the time. But when you come to Sedona, as you felt when you came here, it feels very comfortable to people who are of high vibration because it is existing already as a City of Light in a very high 5D vibration here. The same with each of us humans, that we have been what I call downloading our full I Am presence. And Patricia Coda-Robles talks about this a lot. She's a wonderful teacher here, that we allow our I Am presence to be fully embodied in our mental, emotional, etheric, and physical bodies. So it's the merge of the full divine, masculine and feminine aspects with the human vehicle, which, as I say in the book, the human vehicle is such a diverse and beautiful creation, because each of our chakras, for example, and there's many more than seven, but each of our chakras are ways that we receive cosmic energy and express it. So humanity has such diverse creative ways to receive energy and express it. And now we are merging the full God self, the I Am presence, divinity, with the human, all the chakras, all the energy fields, all our multidimensional aspects, all of these merges are happening. And if you think about it, we are really spheric beings. We are vortexes of energy, and we radiate out in all directions with our energy, with our love. So if you think about the greater aspects of what we are light and love, spheres of light and love pulsing and radiating out love and light to all that is, and receiving it and transmitting it, receiving it and transmitting it, like the in-breath of God and the out-breath of God. So yes, the December 21st is another portal of great love and light coming to us and to this planet that we can receive and raise our vibrations and frequency to an even higher level, no matter where it is we're starting from on that day. And we're all doing it every day. Every day we are becoming lighter. We are enlightening all humanity. And whether they know anything about the New Age or whether they know anything about metaphysics, it doesn't really matter, because as has come to me in the channelings so many times, the truth is etched in every human heart. No matter how unaware people are of the language that we speak in the metaphysical community, people's hearts are still opening. They're still enlightening. They're still becoming more loving and lighter and happier. And this is what I've observed in other people around me who are not into what I'm into, so to speak. Mm. But I see them. I see them also becoming lighter, happier, more expanded, and definitely more loving.
Mm. So there's hope for everyone, even although there seems to be a relatively short time left before that key point.
There's definitely hope for everyone, because the truth is etched within every heart, and every human being holds the truth in their heart. So even if, like I had that huge, enormous awakening when I was 22, and other people may have awakenings like that at any given day, including the 21st. It may happen in a huge tsunami of awakening for people, but they can recalibrate themselves and balance themselves out again, because it's the truth See?
Yes.
And they'll have lots of help around them, too, from other people like us who have already been going through it. And so we can assist them to know that they aren't crazy, that all of this beauty and wonder and awe and magnificence and openings of spiritual awareness and so on is actually normal, you know.
Right.
The new normal.
Yes, indeed. Now, you spoke at one stage, I think, of this immediate period being the age of flowers. What is the significance of that?
Well, this is beautiful. When I used to live on the East Coast, I grew up in northern New York, and I lived in Massachusetts for a long time. But there is a Cherokee teacher, her name is Diani Oahu, and she's written some books, and I can't remember the name of her books, but she has some land in Vermont, and it's called the Sunray Meditation Center. And she teaches Cherokee teachings for many decades now. But one time in the 80s, I was up at her meditation center for a gathering of women. And we were all gathered together with her. And this is where I heard that expression that she said that the Cherokee call this time the age of flowers, what we might call the seventh golden age, or we might call the new Aquarian age, this next cycle, is the Cherokee call the age of flowers. The Hopi and the Southwestern Native people would call it the fifth world. Okay, so there's many names for it, but that's what the Cherokee have called it in their prophecies.
So now, in your chapter about trust, you talk about the four pillars of the old consciousness. Can you explain what that is?
Yes. The four pillars, and this is, we would say, what humanity bought into over many hundreds of years. We could say the shadow side of the Piscean Age, perhaps. And it's victim consciousness. And I'll just read this part from my book to elaborate on it a little bit more. Victim consciousness is the inner demon or the inner programming that says, I can't, poor me, I am helpless, I am controlled. I must control and manipulate. I will never. I am hopeless. Woe is me. Everything is too hard. And victim consciousness can be everything from that dramatic to quite subtle. The new vibration of that, or the Aquarian vibration, or New Age vibration, is victory consciousness, which says, I can. I am. I know, I will. Poverty consciousness is the programming that says, I don't have enough, there is not enough, I am not enough, I am not good enough, I must save and slave and scrimp, I must hold tightly to what I have, I am worthless, I do not deserve, I am shame, I have not measured up, I am less than. The antithesis of that being abundance consciousness, which says, all that my mother, father, God has mine. All is well. All is beauty. There is enough and more than enough of everything for everyone. Mother Earth in all her natural beauty, my own creative spirit, and my community provides all I will ever need. And then the third pillar, conditional love consciousness. Love's only the reflection of what it has been programmed to love or hate. It is based on having one's needs fulfilled and only on its own terms. It is limited, possessive, full of illusion, fear, and trying to change others because one does not feel one does not feel that they themselves are loved or lovable just as they are. And the growth from there is unconditional love consciousness, which loves all that is, every person, rock, tree, animal, as one love. Unconditional love is humble and non-judgmental, always learning more about oneself, others, and everything, the world. It is a way of being, sharing, connecting, expanding, and feeling fulfilled. And then the fourth pillar is lust consciousness. And lust consciousness means insatiable greed, spiritual emptiness, and longing. It says, I need, I can never get enough to fill this hole. I am empty, I am nothing. I need and want more of everything, anything, and I must have. Unity consciousness feels and knows that all is one, equal, and unique. Unity consciousness celebrates oneself and the glorious diversity of all of creation expressing.
No, that covers it very well indeed. Fine, thank you for that. That was very explanatory. Now, who or what is the Magdalene as you refer to it?
Okay. Well, as I say in my book, the Magdalene came into the planet at the time of Yeshua. They came together as a team to fulfill the divine plan. They were not alone. They were part of a group, their own group, which was the Essenes. And there's a wonderful book by Claire Hartsong, a channeled book, and it's called Anna, Grandmother of Jesus. And Anna, of course, was Mother Mary's mother. And Anna was an adept. Many of the Essenes were adepts in the Egyptian mysteries of the time, the Isis mysteries, the Isis-Osiris mysteries, and had gone through the initiations in Egypt. But what I want to say about that is that, like with all things in the divine plan, for generations before Yeshua and the Magdalene even came to the planet, there were many preparing the way for them, many adepts of the mysteries, ascended master type, you know, that were on the planet preparing the way for them to even come to the planet, and their team and cohorts as a group soul, as a group effort. So they came to set the energies for the Piscean Age, which we are just now leaving into the Aquarian Age. And what they also came to do was to saturate with their great divine cosmic, universal, galactic, and planetary abilities to radiate pure divine love and light. And they weren't the only two. They had a whole group helping them. And others all around the planet, masters in India, masters in the British Isles, masters in South America, as like today, like all times, there are masters of wisdom placed throughout the planet simultaneously to assist in any effort of any given age. But so their task, though, was to electronically, through the electrons of the planet, through the substance of all of Mother Earth, to seed love, light, wisdom, truth, etc., in so that it would be possible in the coming of the next age, the Aquarian Age, for it to bloom forth, which is what we see happening. So they seeded the energies of the divine, which is pure love, light, all knowledge, omniscience, and so on, planet. In all dimensional levels of this planet and humanity. But it took 2,300 years to come through and come forth to the time when it would bloom forth in this cycle of time. And the reason for that is that, and why this time is so important to all of us, is that many cycles are coming to a close and many cycles are beginning. They're nested within each other. So it's one of the smaller cycles is the ending of the 2,300-year Piscean Age, which its esoteric keynote in the esoteric traditions is, I believe, okay? Now we're moving into the next 2,300-year cycle of the precession of the equinoxes, which is the Aquarian Age, where the keynote is, I know. And this is where we all are we are in contact with the divine source. We are the divine source, and we know. Our intuition tells us, our inner knowing, our own omniscience knows. And this is the keynote of the Aquarian Age. That is one cycle. A greater cycle is the Mayan calendar cycle, which is a 26,000-year cycle. And so we're at the end of a 26,000-year cycle and the beginning of another 26,000-year cycle. And on one of the greatest levels, the largest levels, is what the East Indians call the in-breath and out-breath of God, where which has to do with Brahma and Vishnu, I believe. So the in-breath, the out-breath of God is the out-breath of God traveling further and further and further and further out into greater and greater creation of forms on all dimensional levels, okay, including what the Earth is representative of, which is a 3D level, which is a very lower level, but on the beautiful side of it, it is very, very, very diverse, okay, so the out-breath is creation expanding, expanding, expanding. And the in-breath of God, these are enormous cycles of time, is everything coming into a higher vibration, everything coming back into oneness. So this is another thing about the ascension of our planet and of humanity, is that this is a huge thing for us at our level and a completion of the divine plan that's been eons in the making. But it is also, everything is ascending. So it's not just our planet or humanity that is ascending. The universe, all the universes are ascending. Everything, no matter where its starting point, what its frequency level and so on, is moving closer to source and oneness with source. So this it's a cosmic ascension that is happening, and a universal, and a galactic, and a solar systemic, and a planetary. And so it's a grand, grand thing, which is why we all are so excited about it.
It's very difficult to comprehend something that is so big and encompasses so many universes. But what I do like is you refer to the next 2,000-year cycle as freedom.
Yes.
So how does that differ from the one we've just come out of?
Well, this is another thing that has come to me, through me, from the Christ Magdalene, is that the Piscean Age was its keynote also was love, okay? And of course Yeshua, and that was the teachings. The teachings were all about love and forgiveness. That was also the other thing that Yeshua and the Magdalene and all of the teachers then were stamping onto this planet or bringing forth to everyone's attention, was that it's all about love and forgiveness. And when we forgive others and we forgive ourselves, then we are liberated from the past. We are liberated from drama, from the stories, from the resentments that we hold, and so on. And it frees us. But anyway, so what I received was that during the Piscean Age, we all learned so much about love. On the whole scale, from hate to love, all of us, through many incarnations, learned so much about love across the whole spectrum of hate to love. Now, for the end, consummating or ultimately consummating in this realization that we are love and that love is what everything is made of. Okay, the divine, because the divine masculine aspect of creator is the spark or the divine fire or the electricity or the fire, and the divine feminine aspect of creator is love, but it's also the divine feminine is all manifested creation. So everything created is made of love. So, but anyway, we come to this realization, and it's called self-realization, it's called God realization, it's called God consciousness, it's called cosmic consciousness, it's called many things, which is knowing that we are love, knowing that we are God in a human form. So the Aquarian age is the keynote of this. It's a violet ray age in the esoteric traditions. It's a violet ray age. We know that Saint Germain, the Ascended Saint Master Saint Germain, has a lot to do with overseeing the divine plan for this shift of the ages, especially for America. But the keynote for this coming cycle is freedom. And so, for 2300 years, humanity is going to be learning and realizing, self-realizing, about all the many nuances of freedom, as we learned about love in the past 2300 years.
Well, we could certainly do with it, having been so tightly controlled for so long. That will be quite a pleasure, I'm sure.
Exactly. Now,
yes.
Now, see this setup, though, Mike? It's such an interesting setup because we get to see the enormous contrast between total control and domination, power over, and manipulation, even to the point of very subtle electromagnetic ways of doing it through HARP or through the media and subliminal programming and so on. All the many ways of control, okay, including the control of women and children, you know, just so many things. And then we get to see the contrast and we get to choose freedom.
Yes.
Which is a very important teaching that has come through.
Indeed.
With
now,
me. Is
also think it's very nice to know that we can heal everything with love, because it will give us the confidence, I think, to use it to heal the earth.
Yes, and ourselves and other people.
It's all right, I'm just looking down my notes here. You mentioned in the chapter about the inner child, that you can create yourself, your world, and your experiences. Is this something that's referring to the greater powers that we will have, greater powers of creation after ascension?
No, that is available to us now. Because once we realize, meaning that we understand, anything that is limiting us or holding us back, we can choose then to recreate. And this is possible. This has been going on for decades. It started, I think, a lot with human potential movement in psychology and the transpersonal psychology movement in the 60s, where that was the beginning, I think, of... And that wasn't the only influences at that time. I mean, in philosophy, in the youth movement, in the peace movement, and all of the things that we started realizing that we could choose again, that we could re-choose. And this is also what prayer is. It's a choice, to make the choice. I choose to be happy rather than to be a victim. I I choose to be fulfilled rather than to be stagnant, or whatever it may be. So we're always doing that. This is a symptom, or not a symptom, a fruit of expanded awareness and expanded consciousness, is knowing that we can utilize our mental powers and emotional powers, they are creative powers, to recreate ourself, our old pains, and our world.
Right. So how do we approach the idea of creating and anchoring the new earth together?
Well, I think that the main focal point is each of us knowing who we truly are, that we are God, Goddess, and human combined, that we have the creative power through our thoughts, through our interactions with others, through our creative ideas, inventions, etc., to move forward into a world of peace, love, harmony, joy, celebration, and creativity of all kinds. Another golden age, our next golden age.
Right. Now, in that same chapter, there is a reference to us being in the process of marrying the human and the divine within the human vehicle. Is that something that we will have acquired before the new cycle starts?
It's a progressive thing. For many of us, it's been a progressive thing over, at least let's just say, since the turn of the century, and for many people before that. But for others who are not aware of it, will be becoming more and more and more aware of it, which is also happening already. So, but for all of the people who are not yet aware of the greater forces at work and the greater forces at work within them, their own self, will be becoming ever more aware of it. So it's an evolutionary thing as well as an enormous expansion, a burst of enlightenment, both. But it's up to the free will choice of every soul, see, and this is what has already come through me a lot, is that that this is why human free will has been considered to be precious, and it has been a universal law that free will cannot be interfered with and is a precious universal law, because each human being, each human soul needs to freely choose to be all that they are. Every human soul needs to freely choose love rather than fear. Every human soul needs to freely choose a world of peace, needs to fully choose to be fulfilled. The choice is very, very, very important. And what I realized, what was channeled to me or what came through me, was that the reason for this was because we have to be a sovereign being. We cannot be a fully God-realized being in the human form unless we choose to. This makes us a free sovereign being, and we can't do it for anyone else. Everyone needs to be fully sovereign and free themselves, meaning that they freely choose to be all that they are, which is a cosmic being, an eternal. We are eternal beings. We have always been, are, and will always be, just the same as God. And over the years of working with people in Sedona, I've come to use physics a lot as metaphors. But so the metaphor that I use for this is the hologram. And a hologram is a three-dimensional picture made with light rays And when you take one pixel, just one pixel out of the hologram, and you put the light rays through it, the laser rays through it, that one pixel then becomes the whole picture. So the entire hologram, original hologram picture, that whole entire picture is contained within every little pixel of the hologram. And this is the same with humanity's relationship to Mother, Father, God, or to Source, or to Great Spirit, is each human being is a pixel of the hologram, is we are all that is, and we are also an individuated soul of all that is. We are God expanding itself in all ways, in consciousness, in physical form, in creativity, in connectivity with others. This is the beauty of the human vehicle as well, that so many of our star brothers and sisters want to share with us, which is the emotional capacities of humanity to connect with others, to love, to have relationship, and so on. So it's just an incredible...
Yes, I like that explanation. Now, you mentioned that the timelines continue to collapse towards the Omega point. Now, what is the Omega point, and what will happen when we reach it?
For me, the Omega point is oneness. It is the truth of creation, that all is one. And at the simultaneously, at the same time, there is great diversity in all ways, both vertically and horizontally, meaning vertically meaning dimensional wise, and horizontally meaning all the creations that can happen at any dimensional level. But the Omega point is when all of the waves of energy, the physicists talk about waves and particles of energy, and you might call timelines waves of energy that are created by beliefs or thought forms commonly held in common together that create waves of energy or morphogenetic fields of beliefs or structures, thought forms. So as the heart keeps opening, as humanity's heart keeps opening and opening and opening, which creates enlightenment, we all merge in the oneness of the one heart, the source, all that is oneness. And we don't need to, we will still have much creativity and diversity, but it will be pulsing out from a known oneness. That is the Omega point. And the collapsing of timelines, or the collapsing of, as the old paradigm belief systems, like, oh, we're all going to go to FEMA camps, or, oh, the west coast of the United States is going to fall off into the ocean, or, oh, we're going to have Armageddon, or any of these old belief systems that created timelines for humanity because many consciousnesses bought into them, thus kept them going. Those are collapsing as the truth arises, the truth of God, Goddess, that is held within every human heart. And, of course, in Gaia herself, and she's way beyond us in her consciousness, you know. So... That's the best explanation I think that I can give of that right at this moment.
that's very good. Thank you much, Jules. Right, now you mentioned a little bit earlier, mentioned the word calibrating. So if we are recalibrating our bodies to accept the fullness of the cosmic Christ and Magdalena presence, are we doing it consciously, or is it happening as we bring more light into our body?
Both, yes to both of those. Again, I have to come back to my unique lifestyle here in Sedona, where most of my friends are healers, and so we have. So there are many people who are consciously working with it. Okay, in a wide variety of ways, including physical. doing colon cleanses, you know, spending a lot of time in nature, drinking pure water, eating organic food, and consciously working with flowing high-frequency light through their whole chakra system and spine, connecting source or connecting great central sun energies through us, through our chakras, through our energy fields, out our feet chakras, connecting into the heart of Mother Earth, so that we energy workers actually work the energy in a conscious way of receiving greater and greater frequencies of energy through the pillar of light that we are talking about, our chakras, or the spheres of light that we are talking about, our energy fields. So we pray for it, and we ask it for it, and we envision, and we work with energies consciously, receiving gratefully and consciously and intentionally more love, light, higher frequencies through us as acupuncture points for the earth and as beacons of light in our environment. Because the more we raise our frequencies, the wider and wider and wider our aura goes, so that we can touch more and more of our fellow humans, animals, birds, and so on, with our energy fields of love and light. And so some are doing it consciously, but many people are doing it. It's happening for people anyway, even if they aren't conscious of it. And a lot of, you know, we all receive a lot of healing work and assistance from, again, from the Ascended Master, guides, angels, star brothers and sisters, and our own I Am Presence and Higher Self, to receive healing during our sleep time, to receive recalibrations during our sleep time. So for a lot of humanity who don't know consciously what is happening, they are still receiving energies and recalibrations according to their soul's choice. So, but there were no souls that chose to be here at this time who were not going to be part of this ascension. And Creator expects all people to ascend. Now, this could be in staggered timing, and that's okay. It could be staggered over the next 2,300 year period. We who knows? We don't really know, but you know. But it's a continual process, and for some, it's more conscious than for others. But it's happening as one to all, for to, with, and for all of us, every single one. Now people can resist it like crazy, and yeah. You know. So, but that's okay. If they're choosing to resist it, they can't resist forever because of the power of the light itself and the power of love itself. So, and people get worked on during their sleep, and they get worked on the subconscious levels. So, and people are moving forward whether they know it or not.
Right. Indeed, thank goodness. Now, you've said in one part of your book that all is ripe now for the deep embrace of the divine feminine. Is that what has been missing from our makeup that we very badly need?
Yeah, absolutely, yes, absolutely. And we can all see it in where we got to in our modern era, where children are sold as sex slaves. You know what I mean? When we get to that point of debasement and of separation from love, yes, of not honoring children and of not honoring women, that has been going on, etc., all of these kinds of things, okay, of having the imagination be a dirty word, you know, and the rational mind exalted above all else, when really the imagination is another word for soul language, because the language of the soul is symbolism of all kinds, or what we might call imagination. But everything, feminine qualities have been further and further and further suppressed over time. But on a higher level of that, even though that has been very difficult and very damaging and painful, and so on, to the point that Mother Earth herself almost destructed and called for help. Even with all of that, in the esoteric traditions, again, on a higher level, we've been going through the period of development as the human vehicle, the human race, where we have been developing our mental body, or what is called the Aryan cycle in the esoteric traditions. So in this past thousands of years, humanity has been perfecting or developing the mind, the mental body. But unfortunately, the way we went about it was we neglected and suppressed and forgot about the feminine aspects, although a lot of the feminine aspects were purposely suppressed on the planet by the dark forces, as we know as well. So there was a purposeful suppression of the feminine as well going on. But so now we're at the point where we are able to have the full functioning of the mental body, the emotional body, the etheric and physical body of humanity. And again, this is different for every person, but it's where we're at now. So now it's the time for the wholeness of all that we are, all of the masculine qualities of being, all of the feminine qualities of being, divine intelligence and divine love, to be joined in oneness, in union, in wholeness. And what one way that I say this, and have started to say this a while ago, was that when we are in balance within ourselves, when our own personal divine masculine and feminine are in balance within, and we allow ourselves to use the whole spectrum, whether we're using a masculine quality here or a feminine there, then it gives birth to what we call our divine wild child, or creativity itself, or the Christ child, or the authentic self. So then that is our own individual trinity of each person. Each human being has their own trinity within consciousness and beingness, which is expressed through the physical and emotional and mental, and just our being, merely simply being who we are. And that is the divine masculine and feminine giving birth to the divine wild child, our authentic self, not having to wear any more masks to hide behind, or masks that our programming and conditioning has taught us to believe are correct. It's just being simply who we are, which is love, creativity, divine intelligence, and that's what we are.
Right. Now, if you tell someone that they should try to move into their heart and allow their heart to be their guide, they might well ask you, how would they know if they have achieved it?
Well, and one thing I want to say is that an easy way to get yourself into your heart and thus notice it more on both the physical and energetic level is to simply bring your attention to your heart area. Okay, so you shift your attention of your mind, shift it to your heart area and focus on your heart, and then breathe through your heart. So keep your focus on your heart area and remembering that it's a sphere. It's not just the front of your heart. It's the back of your heart and the side of your heart, okay? It's the chakra, the vortex of your heart. But you right. And you breathe through your heart. So breathe in to the heart, breathe out through the heart. Breathe in to the heart, breathe out through the heart. Just keep your focus on your heart, breathing in and out through your heart. And relax. and open and receive, and you will start to feel your heart. You might feel little tingles. You might feel an expansion. You might feel warmth. You might feel just the feelings of love and appreciation and gratitude and awe and mystery and magnificence and amazingness and just how amazing everything is. But this is a way to shift our focus to our heart, is by really shifting our mental focus to the heart. And old meditation teachers would tell people to shift their focus to their belly or to second, third chakra area, to the heart center. And a lot of people learn to meditate that way by shifting their mind, dropping it down into their belly and breathing into that area. When you do that, you come into your body. You're very just simply present. You're no longer in the mind. You're focused in the belly and you're just simply present and open to what is. And it's the same thing with the heart. When you shift your focus into the heart, you become much more intimate with your own heart. And I also like to give the symbolism, the imagery for people too, who imagery works for them, is to imagine the beautiful chalice, your holy grail, beautiful, beautiful chalice in your heart. And imagine that holy grail in your heart, the love that you are. And let that holy grail fill and fill and fill with sparkly golden white opalescent rainbow light coming in through your crown chakra from source, through the great central sun, through all of our chakras, in through the crown, which is a crown of light. So imagine your crown chakra being a crown of with rays of light extending upward like a fairy crown or and then let the light come in through the crown, flow through your upper chakras into your heart, and fill that cup, that grail in your heart. Let that cup fill and fill with sparkly golden white light, Christed light, until that cup overflows with sparkly light. And let that sparkly light overflow from your heart, and then it will go down to your solar plexus chakra, your power center, and fill it like a golden sun, your beingness as a human here on the planet, the star that you are, the divine being that you are. So those are some little tools that are very simple.
Yeah, that's very nice. That makes a very nice meditation. You said in the closing stages of your book that the new world is emerging through us. Presumably what you're saying there is that we are creating it ourselves.
Yes.
So we are here to birth the new golden age. And we're becoming planetary citizens, and we will eventually become ambassadors to other worlds, galaxies, and galaxies in our universe. Is that correct?
That's correct, and we already do that, but we just aren't totally aware of it and conscious of it. It's part of our multidimensionality, part of our multidimensional nature, that for many of us, we already are ambassadors in many different ways and at many different levels, but we don't remember it. Whereas we are going to be, this is just the beginning of the age when we will be fully conscious of all of ourself, all aspects of ourself. And we will be united, we will be whole. This is what I mean about downloading our full I Am presence and all the aspects of our multidimensionality here into the physical body, which will be lighter and more ethereal and lighter, but it will still be physical. And then we will consciously be ambassadors and we'll remember it.
Right. So you've also mentioned in the latter stage of the book that the new generation is ready to step into empowerment. Does that necessarily refer to the star seeds and the indigos and so forth?
Yes, it does, yes. There's another kind of a symbolism that I like to refer to, which is just as I talked about the spiritual masters who came before Yeshua and the Magdalene to prepare the way, well, us older people on the planet who came in at the end of the darkest of the dark, the end of the Kali Yuga, as the East Indians call it, before the next golden age, and we came into the planet and lived in the decades of time at the end of the darkest period before the next cycle. Well, if we had not come to the planet in the 40s and 50s and so on and 30s and done what we did to advance ourselves, to be guided by our soul, to move forward into greater humanism, tolerance, wisdom, etc., all that we did in our own life, which was difficult, we way energetically for the indigo kids, the indigo signature, that level of frequency, to even come to this planet. And the indigo frequency, all those souls that are part of the indigo frequency, the crystal children and the younger children that are coming now since the turn of the century, they couldn't have even come to this planet unless its frequencies had already raised to a point where they could even come here. So it's a progressive evolution as well, is only one way of saying it, but it's a progressive evolution. And the young ones are here with great love and light and creativity energies to build the new earth, to create it. And it's so interesting and ironic that the dark forces, so to speak, have tried to hold them back through the drugs, you know, labeling them ADHD and all of that, and the wide use of drugs for that and depression with the young people, right? And the programming of the media and all the forms of technology, and that, you know, that there's 3,000 channels playing 24 hours a day and so on. All of these different things that have tried to cut off these young ones from their connection to Source, to their I Am, to the truth of who they are, but it cannot be done. And so we are here to support them in the fullness of all that they are, which is the same as all that we are, so that they can move everything forward at a very rapid pace. And this is people in their 30s, their 20s, and the younger ones are just, you know, the littlest ones. And there's been another almost like baby boom lately with lots of babies coming into the planet. And these are pure bundles of intense love and light frequencies and intelligence.
I thought that was the case indeed. I think one of the things that people find very difficult to deal with because of the way perhaps we've been brought up is that they need to try and reach a point where there is no judgment left in them and no separation from themselves or others.
That's right, Mike. That is the quintessence of what is going on now. That is the theme right now for humanity, is to release all judgment. And it is a huge part of our consciousness. And both judgment of other people and situations, and also of ourselves, both. Both all of the facets of judgment and separation. And that is our task right now, our most important task. And the more that we can do that and release it all and come into acceptance, of ourselves, acceptance of everybody else, to be who they are, simply be who they are, not have to be right or wrong, good or bad. You see, this is moving into unity consciousness. Just allowing our own self to simply be who we are and allowing all others to simply be who they are. And trust is also a very key element of this, which is really trusting oneself and also trusting others and trusting God, Godettes, trusting Source, trusting creation itself and the divine plan working out, and so on. Trust and lack of judgment, letting all judgments go. And sometimes that takes conscious forgiveness, and sometimes it takes catching yourself to see when you are judging anything at all, including yourself or other people or situations. And a very simple tool for that is when you become aware of it, just send that love. Send it love. And that dissipates it.
Right. I think that's a good point, really, to bring the program to an end. But before I have to say goodbye to you, would you like to give our listeners your website address and perhaps your blog as well?
Yes. My website is www.ascensionisnow.com, and my blog is thefemininechrist.wordpress.com. And I also work with my friend Elizabeth Hartstar, taking people to Glastonbury and other sacred sites in England. And so we're working on a website right now called avalonjourney.com, but it's not up yet. The information about that is on my website right now.
Right. I know you have indicated that you are taking a group there next year, so the details are on your website, are they?
Yes, they are.
Okay, fine. Is there any other final point you would like to make? Perhaps something I haven't mentioned or you haven't mentioned so far?
Well, I want to thank you so much for this. It's been wonderful, absolutely wonderful talking with you. I love it. And I just want to read one paragraph, the last part of the channeling that came through. It's called A Message for Humanity for December 2012. And this is also, the whole channeling is on my website as well. But I just would like to read the very last paragraph of it.
Oh, yes.
Every day dreams are coming true, and many more dreams are being born. As the unfolding of this new age continues, you continue to rise in frequency with deeper reverence and joy for all that is, and you know more and more deeply your oneness with all that is. You will choose now, with each breath, to expand and enlighten and relish your freedom and joy. As the wings of your heart continue to open, you join Gaia's laughter, joy, and celebration. The unified heart, your telepathic communications shared, and the accomplishment of unity consciousness and the expressions of your creativity are limitless and radiant. Let go now and relax into your greatness. May each of you joyfully harvest the fruits you have tended and share the bounty. We walk with you, as you, through you, and beside you. We are the Christ Magdalene.
That's beautiful. Very nice. I didn't mention your books, but presumably both of them are available through Amazon.
They are available through Amazon, yes. And I have a poetry book, too, called Ecstasies and Meditations, that's available from my website. Right. Yes.
Fine. It's been wonderful speaking with you, and you're very knowledgeable. So thank you very, very much for coming on the program. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
So did I, Mike. Thank you so much. Thank you for channeling Salusa and giving everybody so much hope and information all of this time. I'm so grateful for that.
Thank you, Jules. We all love you very much.
Oh, you too, Mike. Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you. All the best.
You too.
Thank you. Right, friends. Cheerio. That was a very lovely lady there called Jules. And as I said, she certainly knows her subject. Next week, I have Janine Regan-Sinclair. She's a crystal Kai specialist and clinical hypnotherapist. Actually works in Harley Street, London. And she's the founder of the Crystal Kai Foundation. She's actually made documentaries about entities and spirit attachment in relation to mental health and addictions. And she's also into spiritual healing. So that will give you an idea of what we will be talking about. Thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you very much.